The Second World War, a podcast by Stephen Bedard.
I have often made the joke that when I feel Scandinavian, I'd like to finish a Danish. Finish a Danish, get it? The problem with that joke is that, contrary to what many people think, Finland is not in Scandinavia. Finland, Sweden, Norway, Denmark, and Iceland, however, are Nordic countries. In a previous episode, we looked at the Soviet invasion of Finland. This week, we will shift slightly to Scandinavia, where this time the invaders are Germans and not Soviets. At this point, the Second World War had been declared and there had been some conflicts between the Germans and the Allies, but not much. The French and British were mobilizing, but there had been no great land battles yet. The Germans had so far taken Austria, Czechoslovakia, and Poland. No one thought Hitler was done yet with his plans for Europe, but who would be next? In some ways, Denmark was the logical choice. If you look on a map, you can see that Denmark is a peninsula that juts out of northern Germany. Looking at other bordering nations, attacks on the Netherlands, Belgium, or even neutral Switzerland would bring a swift response from the French and probably the British as well. But the only nation that borders Denmark is Germany. Plus, the Scandinavians fit into Hitler's twisted ideas of ethnic superiority. On the other hand, conquering Denmark did not have that much strategic importance, except for one thing, and that was its proximity to Norway. But we'll get to that in a few minutes. The invasion of Denmark took place on April 9, 1940. It took 4 hours. I'm not going to go into a detailed account of the invasion and the battles that were fought. The Germans landed troops by sea and by air, as well as crossing over by land. The Danes never stood a chance. That's not to say that they didn't fight hard or well. They repulsed a number of German attacks, but in the end, they could not hold out. Unlike Finland against the Soviets, and what would soon be Norway against the Germans, Danish geography did not lend itself to ongoing resistance. Leaflets were dropped on the capital city of Copenhagen, threatening to bomb the city. The Danes knew what the Germans had done to Poland, and that this was no idle threat. Facing a hopeless situation, the Danish government capitulated. The good news is that the total dead, both Danish and German combined, was probably less than 50. Things would be quite different in Norway. Unlike Denmark, Norway had some specific strategic value. In addition to securing the shipments of iron ore from Sweden, Norway also provided some excellent launching points for U-boats to harass Allied shipping. Plans were made for invading Norway after Adolf Hitler met Vidkun Quisling in December of 1939. Quisling's name would soon become synonymous with that of traitor. The Allies were not ignorant to the strategic importance of Norway. It was decided to mine Norwegian waters in order to limit German access to Swedish ore. There were even plans to occupy certain Norwegian cities in response to an anticipated German reaction. Operation Wilford was scheduled for April 5th, but was delayed to April 8th. Technically, the German invasion of Norway began on April 3rd, when German supply vessels were sent ahead of the main force. The German invasion force was detected by the RAF on April 7th, but there was much confusion about the nature of the ships and their destination. On April 8th, British destroyer the HMS Glowworm encountered two German destroyers. The Glowworm was destroyed when the destroyers called for help. That same morning, a Polish submarine sunk a German troop ship and discovered in the wreckage German soldiers. They reported their findings, but they were not taken seriously. The British Admiralty were convinced that the Germans were trying to break through the blockade of Germany rather than invade Norway. As more ships were spotted, the breakout theory began to crumble. A Norwegian patrol boat, a refitted whaler, encountered a German ship and was damaged. Reports reached the Norwegian government in Oslo, and mobilization began. With the British focused on finding out what happened to the glowworm, the Norwegians were left on their own. Two coastal defense ships were sunk by the Germans. Seeing this, the commander of the land forces in Narvik surrendered without a fight. Some of the other cities put up more of a fight, some significantly so. The fortifications at Oslo Fjord destroyed one cruiser and damaged another. This caused a delay in the capture of Oslo, allowing the royal family and parliament to flee the capital. With the government gone, the Norwegian Vidkun Quisling took control of the radio stations and announced a coup with himself as the new prime minister. As German and Norwegian troops clashed, there were still ongoing negotiations. The stumbling block for the Norwegians was the German demand for recognition of the Quisling government. The Norwegians fought hard, but they knew that they could not defeat the Germans on their own. The German use of dive bombers and tanks was something the Norwegians had no defense against. Their only hope was to hold on until reinforcements came from Britain and France. The Allies had landed in Norway, although things didn't go as well as hoped. In eastern Norway, British and Norwegian troops fought the Germans and were able to delay the advance. But the Germans broke through. An RAF squadron had set up a base to challenge Luftwaffe supremacy, but their planes were destroyed by German bombing. In central Norway, the successful mobilization of the Norwegian troops provided the opportunity for British landings. French troops arrived in the area as well. Unfortunately, the German air superiority prevented these troops from taking advantage of their situation. On April 26, the Allied leadership decided to withdraw all British and French troops from south and central Norway. The Norwegian troops covered them and then disbanded to avoid capture. The Allies had discovered that saving all of Norway was not going to happen. So they put all their effort into taking Narvik, blocking the supply of iron that Germany was seeking. A Franco-Polish force, supported by Norwegian troops, made their way to Narvik. By May 28th, they had finally taken Narvik. But it was not something they could hold, even with a significant fighting force. They focused on causing as much damage as possible to the port installations of Narvik. When the Germans entered Narvik on June 7th, the Allies were gone. 25,000 of the Franco-Polish-British Expeditionary Force landed in the UK, along with King Haakon and the Norwegian gold reserves. On June 10th, General Ruge of Norway signed the document of capitulation. In terms of lives lost, the Germans lost over 5,000 men, the Norwegians over 1,000, and the Allies over 2,000. But the battle for Norway was not just a land battle. Many ships were sunk, and it was some of the most intense naval action outside of the U-boats in the European theater. Although the Germans technically won the battle for Norway, they had lost 3 cruisers and 10 destroyers, with others sent to the dockyard. These were the ships that would have been needed, but were not available for a potential invasion of Britain. Speaking of Britain, this battle had some other direct consequences. The discouraging results from the attempted protection of Norway led to the downfall of Neville Chamberlain as Prime Minister. Many of his own party had lost confidence, and the Labour and Liberal members refused to serve under his government. So on May 10, 1940, while the fighting for Norway was still going on, Winston Churchill formed a national government with support from the major parties. This was the opportunity that Churchill had been looking for. While he made plenty of mistakes and was far from perfect, Churchill would end up being the right person for the right job at the right time. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Second World War podcast. This episode is brought to you by Audible. My recommended audiobook is Hitler's Preemptive War, The Battle for Norway, 1940, written by Henrik Lund. This book describes the often overlooked World War II campaign for Norway, a complex series of battles in which Hitler outgambled Churchill in order to secure a vital resource lifeline for the Third Reich. Download this audiobook for free. Did I just say free? Yes, I just said free with a free. And did I say free again? Yes, I did. A free trial of Audible at audibletrial.com/hopesreason. Make sure to visit me at stephenjbedard.com/secondworldwar and track me down on Twitter and Facebook. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.